Well, Joey, here I am at the Churchill Arena, ready for Thursday night hockey, but we've got a problem. We couldn't get any goalies, so now nobody wants to show up. Oh well. Anyway, the weather is cold. Minus 25 today. It's going to pretty much stick around minus 25 for the rest of the week. And you'd think that on these cold winter nights that you just want to come play some hockey. So what the H? Pardon my French, but what the H? Anyway, to the rest of the meteorologists, I hope you're having a lovely evening. That's about it from here. Hope to see you next Thursday. Take care, everybody.
Well, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, Frankie's got the weather we got. Wait a minute. Well, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, Frankie's got the weather, whether or not.
Good morning, Prince George. Good afternoon, Winnipeg. Welcome to the Meteorological Report. I am your host, Dr. Joey Only, from Wells, British Columbia, but living out here in the wilderness, working at a logging camp. That's what I'm doing. Yep, I'm here with my meteorologists, Frankie McDonald and Brandon Houck, and our gang that will be showing up, I'm sure, as people often do. We never know who's going to show up, but look at that. Peter Glanco's just showing up from Virginia Beach. And I was going to ask him about the SpaceX rocket launch, which happened just near where he lives today. So something to talk to him about. But first, before I get to Frankie, as we always do, last week I dedicated the show to the memory of my friend Wesley Weedmark. And now the news is passed around. And I was speaking with his mom, and she sent me this write-up about him. And I want to read it to everybody, because I think especially Prince George listeners on CFIR 88.7 FM, a lot of you may know Wesley or may have known Wesley. It is with great sadness and sorrow that we regret to inform the sudden passing of Wesley Allen Weedmark, born in Vernon, BC on September 27, 1988, and was raised in Barrier, BC. He passed away at the young age of 33 on November 22, 2021. Wesley was a true gentleman with a heart of gold and the soul of a dang old mountain man, born 125 years too late. He was an exceptional artist, self-taught musician, a lover of nature and those in it, and a good friend of mine for that reason. Wesley, with his generosity, was legendary, known to be the type of person who would give you the shirt off his back, even if it was the only one he had, truth. His heart was not only golden, but adorned with diamonds. He was the type of friend who always had a gift or handmade treasure that was specifically made for his loved ones. I have some of those gifts in my house. Always looking for that vein of gold, he was fueled by the sacred places he had in the Goat River and Snowshoe Lakes. He was the one that lived off the land, gathering wild medicinal plants and berries for Bannock. A classical soul, Wesley usually sported a hat and a classy outfit for shindigs. Wesley's spirit was infectious. His warmth, laughter, and the stories he told filled all the hearts he met along the way. Wesley had many friends. He was an unforgettable soul who loved to see happy people. He loved his family and friends with everything he had. He will be sadly missed by his mama, Diana, his dad, Dean, brother, Lamont, sisters, Helena and Elise, and his niece, Ariana, grandma, many uncles, aunts, and cousins, all his loving friends, and his beloved dog, Tipson Waters. Ooh-wee, we miss you and love you, the whole wide world, Wesley Scooter. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made in his name to the Diabetes Association. Gonna miss you, Wes. Now back to the people I have right here. Number one off the top of the hour, the man himself, Frankie McDonald.
Frankie, the weatherman. Frankie, the weatherman.
Who?
Frankie.
Who?
Frankie.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frankie.
How you doing, Frankie McDonald?
I'm doing great so far. It's been raining a lot in Sydney, Nova Scotia. As of right now, same with Halifax, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, even Bonaventure, Quebec, Vermont, Gazette, and Bangor, Maine's getting lots of rain too. As well, same with Vermont, New Hampshire, in interior New York, they're getting rain. Even Montreal's getting rain in Quebec City. They're getting snow up in on the north side of the St. Lawrence River, up with Chicoutimi and all these places. With rain, snow mix, they're getting a lot of snow way north of Chicoutimi, Quebec. As of right now, there's a lot of snow squalls in Lake Ontario and Lake Michigan, and rain squalls too, and lake effect snow up in northern Ontario. It's really, really hot in Arizona, Nevada, California, New Mexico, Utah, because of Santa Ana winds going on right now, triggering fires there. And the places like in Colorado, the weather in Colorado never had snow yet because climate change is happening around the world.
Here comes the story of the hurricane.
Hurricane season finally came to an end in my area.
Any hurricanes going on in the world right now, Frankie?
There's a possible typhoon in the Western Pacific Ocean, but it dies out this time of the year because typhoon season is when it's our summer, when our hurricane season and typhoon season both kick up in high gear late August and September.
What about earthquakes, Frankie? Anything going on in the earthquake world this week?
They had a 6.4 magnitude earthquake in Papua New Guinea a couple days ago.
How's the weather been in Europe?
There's a lot of wind and rain in Inverness, Scotland. Up around Scotland, England, and Belfast, Ireland, they're getting a lot of rain there too.
How about over in Russia, your favorite?
They're getting a lot of cold weather. So they had a big blizzard in Magadan, Russia. Vladivostok had a blizzard a few days ago, same with southeastern Russia.
What about Australia?
They're getting a lot of hail and rain in southeastern Australia. Their summer starts on December 21st.
They had some major storms there last week, I saw.
It'd be pretty unfun to be a kangaroo in hail.
Hello, Peter Galanko down in Virginia Beach. Good to see you, my friend. We'll be asking you about the SpaceX rocket launch.
Good to see you, Joe.
Because I'm sure you have something to say about that. Frankie, what's going on in Asia?
In Southeast Asia, and they're having lots of tremors lately, and they're getting a lot of bad monsoon season in Indonesia. And monsoon season came to an end in India, in Sri Lanka, and in Pakistan. And I heard that over Hawaii, winter storm watch is upgraded to a blizzard warning on top of the Hawaii mountains. Winds over 100 miles per hour now possible on Hawaii Island on top.
I was going to ask Brandon about that too when we get to him in a minute because he sent that around. And, you know, tall mountains create snow, but I don't know how many blizzards Hawaii is used to getting. Frankie, what's the craziest thing going on in the world of weather right now, you think?
Some big hailstorm somewhere in the world. And in Antarctica, it's extremely windy there where all the scientists and research people are at. And they're doing research this time of the year. Antarctica is getting eclipsed tomorrow. Total solar eclipse somewhere in Antarctica tomorrow.
That's cool. Tell me, Frankie, what is the Omicron variant, and should we be concerned?
You have to be concerned. The whole world has to be concerned. Even scientists in Antarctica have to be concerned, and people up at International Space Station as well.
What did you do this week, Frankie?
I went for a walk and things like that. I was on a Reckless Aries radio this afternoon.
Did you make any cool videos this week on your YouTube channel?
I just did a shout-out to Dogecoin.
Dogecoin!
Okay, guys, we're going to do it. Raining, a lot of onion rings. Such a beautiful day out. It's sunny. And these beautiful birds are flying up in the air. Sounds like dark clouds are coming. It's thunder and lightning. Oh my God, it's raining onion rings. More onion rings will fall down. It's raining a lot of onion rings. Ton of onion rings will fall down from the sky. A lot of onion rings are very high. More onion rings. There's a lot of onion rings fall from the sky now. There's more onion rings all the time. Onion rings are getting heavier. More heavy onion rings. More heavy onion rings non-stop. This is never ending. Oh my God, it's onion rings falling from the sky. It's never ending onion rings. It won't stop. It's not stopping. Onion rings finally stopped. I better shovel onion rings. Thanks for watching on Frank and Doubt.
And see any good movies this week, Frankie?
I missed that one. I bet I got a lot of views, so I'll check it out.
Yeah, I missed that one too. Did you see the new Ghostbuster movie, Frankie?
The last Blockbuster movie I saw is F9.
Furious 9. You were saying that last week. I'm really hoping to see that Ghostbuster movie at some point. I mean, it's hard for me to get to a movie theater, though. It's not something I typically do. I'm 200 kilometers out here in west of Quesnel in the Caribou Plateau Wilderness. This week, we found a caribou antler. The caribou was frozen in the ice, and I sawed the thing out. I couldn't get the whole head out because the other rack, half the rack, was frozen into the mud and underneath a bunch of ice. But I managed to cut one antler off, so that was pretty cool. Then this week, of course, if you follow my YouTube channel, Joey Only Caribou Weather Dude, you might have seen this summer the Tomahawk Fire Crew videos we put out, and our crews are getting deployed to the flood zone. I thought I was going to go. It's looking more and more like I'm just going to sit put and wait this one out, which is hard for me. I like
on
to
Saturday,
be
there. Saturday. On Saturday and Sunday, Sault Ste. Marie's getting this 15 to 30 centimeters of snow up around Greater Sudbury, Timmins, Sault Ste. Marie, and all these places, including northern Minnesota, North Dakota, parts of Montana, southern Saskatchewan, southern Alberta. They're getting 8 to 15 centimeters of snow in southern Saskatchewan and southern Manitoba. It's going to bring lots of snow in the southern prairies and in Canada, the U.S. border in the prairies.
Well, we'll be talking to Brandon Houck about that in about 30 seconds' time. The show, The Meteorological Report, is on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Mondays at noon, and CFUR 88.7 FM in Prince George out of UNBC, University of Northern British Columbia, is where that radio station is. And that's on Saturday mornings, 10 a.m., and repeats on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. So thank you to those radio stations. Hello to all you radio listeners. And if you want to see the video version of the show, do tune into Joey Only, the Caribou Weather Dude, so you can see all our beautiful faces. That's Frankie McDonald with 270,000 YouTube subscribers, the famous man himself from Sydney, Nova Scotia. And we got meteorologist Brandon Houck, the radio weatherman from the Big Country radio station down there in Brooks, Alberta, the weatherman himself. And Peter Glenko is standing by right after that. Brandon Houck, talk to us about the crazy weather in Western Canada this week. Yesterday, I was in the midst of a terrible snowstorm out in the Chilcotin Plateau, Caribou Plateau. And somewhere south of us, 22 degrees was hit in Penticton, shattering. No place in BC has ever seen temperatures like that. I think the last time that Penticton saw temperatures like that was, in the 1930s, and it was like 15 degrees or something. You know, like they eclipsed the record by such a wide margin. That's obviously got something to do with the Santa Ana winds Frankie's talking about and the warm weather down in the States. Brandon Houck, talk to us about the prairie weather coming up, BC's story that's just been happening, and for all the Winnipeg listeners, they need to know what their weather looks like. The show is recorded on Thursday, December 2nd at nighttime. So when you hear us on Prince George in 2 days, you'll be 2 days behind. So that's why we're talking about weather stories from the week. It's kind of an amalgamation and collection of all the things that have happened this week in Canada and beyond. Brandon Houck, good to see you.
Hopefully I don't choke on popcorn here.
Hey, yes, I've been on 8 radio stations actually this week alone, and it's only been Thursday, and jumped on a new one jumped on Kamloops station for the first time this week, so that's fun, absolutely, covering the event in British Columbia. That would be K97.5 in Kamloops. They just switched to classic rock, so as they switched their format there. So anyways, so that's been that. We were covering that story. And then the big story for us here in Alberta was back on, I believe, yes, Tuesday, where we had, we had the Chinook flow for most part of this week. We actually did get up to about 15 degrees. We were just shy of that record high, which was just a few degrees off that earlier this week. And we have that westerly flow. We had a lot of wind as well. But the big story was that next pulse that moved in, especially, Monday night into Tuesday, that produced those downsloping winds. And we were projecting those wind gusts to get up to 140 kilometers an hour, which is 100 miles an hour. And if you're looking into that. So we had very strong winds. And those winds hit right around, I'd say, just before midnight there. And the temperatures actually stayed in the teens all night because it was that westerly wind and the Chinook wind. So it was quite warm indeed. But The damage that the wind left behind was quite nasty indeed, where we had power lines basically get ripped out of the ground. I believe some barns got damaged, significantly damaged, especially those that aren't, and even a few sheds. Someone just actually was missing their shed. It blew out of the backyard. So that was a very intense wind. And
Pitcher Creek's used to seeing wind.
Now, these usually a shovel.
Pitcher Creek's used to seeing wind,
they,
right?
They are used to seeing wind. There's a lot of people that, we've got wind all the time. It's nothing. We can handle this. Oh, well, somebody lost their shovel and it went halfway across town. So that was another thing. Someone's shovel went missing and someone posted, is anybody missing a shovel? We found a shovel in our front yard and we don't know where it came from. So, as I said, almost the whole community of Pincher Creek was without power. So all those power lines came down, and I think at least 20 to 30 trucks got tipped over, especially on the 22. They had to shut that whole road down because there's so many trucks getting tipped over. They just had to do that, which was a good thing there. But
transport
then,
trucks. You mean transport trucks?
Yes, the high profile vehicles, those big. Yes, big transport trucks.
Cowboys told me in Pincher Creek that people actually go crazy from wind. So it's, have you heard of this wind madness?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Brandon, how come you almost lost my toque?
Probably, yeah, this week I have. I got to see it with my own two eyes because I was doing the weather in Pincher Creek this week. And, yeah, everyone's sick and tired of the wind. When's the wind going to stop? We're done with this wind. Well, that's now stopped, so that's a good thing. But I'll talk about what's coming in just a second here. So I think the wind did something with one of the power, and something started on fire, and we actually had a big fire break loose at the midnight, Tuesday night into Monday night to Tuesday there, and we had an evacuation alert got issued for a section of farmland there, so they had to evacuate to Nanton until the morning, until they were able to get that fire contained, because with that wind blowing at 140 clicks an hour, pretty tough to get a fire contained, and especially if it decided to roll across the prairie there. So they did get that fire contained, but what a mess that storm left from Pincher Creek all the way to Lethbridge, even damaging Lethbridge as well. I think earlier this week there's a cell tower that was damaged as well from the wind. And I think the highest wind gust was actually Nakiska Ridgetop at 185 kilometers an hour. Whoa. That's way up on top of the mountain there, but still that's a pretty strong wind. And at the surface would be Washington at 148 kilometers an hour is the second strongest wind gust. And then Pincher Creek had winds over 130. Lethbridge had 128 kilometer an hour wind gust. So some insane numbers indeed. And then once that cold front went through, that shut the wind down and that cooled it off as well. So temperatures have been in the teens every day this week in the Southwest, but now we're starting to see that transition to more of a northerly flow. So that's going to allow for those temperatures to cool off into Friday. So we'll actually get pretty close to seasonal after a very warm November. Like, we still have no snow on the ground here in the Brooks area, but that's going to change as we go through the weekend here. Area of low pressure is going to develop in Montana, and whenever low pressure develops in Montana, and if you're on the north side of the low, that is going to mean snow. That's right, for Saturday into Sunday. Now, I'm looking at, looks like more 5 to 10 centimeters, so it's not going to be a huge snowfall, but it's going to snow, and we'll see a temperature staying below freezing into next week with a couple more rounds of snow flurries Monday and then again on Wednesday on next week. And then we got to watch another storm system for the middle and towards the end of next week. That could be a pretty nasty storm for the eastern prairies. So that's something to watch as well. And then the cold air is coming down, especially for Manitoba, Monday, Tuesday into Wednesday. Could have those overnight lows in the minus 30s. So if you like cold air, Manitoba place to be.
I like it better than, I'll tell you what I like is that yesterday, Tuesday when we were out timber cruising, It was a blasting wind, and it was dangerous. There was trees coming down. Luckily, the blowdown area I was in, there wasn't many trees left standing. So, but myself being a danger tree assessor, I'm looking around at things coming down. Like, I really shouldn't be here. I'm usually the guy in a wildfire who says, these trees aren't safe. Get out.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, and then the next day, though, we had the snowstorm come in the North Chilcotin, and that's when it was, about 20 degrees at noon in, say, Summerland down south in BC. But the problem was where we were is that it was hovering around zero, right? And when it hovers around zero and then all the trees are laden with snow and you try to walk through the regen and all the snow keeps falling on you, but it's warm enough that it melts. And then by about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, as we're getting back to the snowmobiles and we're frozen solid by the end. I was nearly half hypothermic last night, like it took me hours to get my core temperature up, right? So it's, you'd think that zero was a great number in comparison to today's minus 10 that we started out off at. Right now it's minus 14 in the plateau, but it's only minus 3 in Prince George. So that's funny. They're just not far from north of us. Prince George, you're looking at starting Saturday, 30% chance of flurries, minus 16 at night, minus 6 on Sunday, minus 9, periods of snow on Monday as well, minus 9 at night on Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, looking like some sunshine, but not going to go above zero during the daytime highs. But, I mean, that's a little bit better of a forecast than, say, some places in BC have been seeing. Talk to us about – well, I'd love to hear what you were saying on Kamloops Radio about the BC weather situation, Brandon.
Before I do that, I forgot a couple things here. We've also had freezing rain, quite a few rounds of freezing rain in central Alberta last few days, and that's caused a lot of problems, especially on the Kiwi 2. I think it was earlier this week, last week or so, they had to shut down the Kiwi 2 there from freezing rain. And today we had another round of freezing rain in Carstairs earlier today. They had to shut down the Kiwi 2 again because of slick conditions. And we also had snowfall as well, some heavy bands of snow. And we actually had thunder snow today at Stettler and Hardesty. Looks like those wind turbines got a little bit of a zapping earlier today at 8 in the morning from bolts of lightning. So
a little bit bizarre, but I mean, I've seen thundersnow fairly often. It happens more frequently, say, where I live in the mountains than most people realize. And when people say, well, isn't that sort of strange? Like, well, all rain sort of starts as snow. So, I mean, it's not that unusual for lightning and snow to be together. It's just that you don't usually see that at the surface.
And here's some more information for me. If it's snow meets the snow falls and the ground and ice pellets meet when the snow turns to rain and refreezes, that becomes sleet before hitting the ground. That's sleet. Freezing rain means when the snow turns to rain and they have a very thin layer of cold air, then it refreezes after hitting the ground. That's freezing rain that could cause silver thawed and slippery conditions and icy roads. Rain means when the snow melts and turns and it's splitter platter. It's like a rain. And it means a grapple means a little bit of raindrops mixed with snow that falls down. It's like hails from severe thunderstorms is when it's rained and when the clouds top. It's like falling rocks. That means when a raindrop it goes up the updraft and freezes, then it gets bigger. Then up the updraft gets much bigger. Then if it gets too heavy, the hail falls. They can smash windshields of people's cars. They can break windows, especially down in tornado zones.
If the updraft is, say, 200 kilometers an hour, the wind is going straight up, that little hailstone could turn into a grapefruit. Isn't that right, Brandon?
Yes, that's right.
And it can cause chaos for the kangaroos of Australia.
What happens if a hail got bigger than grapefruit? What does that mean?
It means wear a helmet. Maybe get a bomb
shelter.
What
happens if a hail got big as a house? What does that mean?
Means if you're a wicked witch, look out.
That's right.
That'll be that. I seen that episode of Biker Bites from Mars. They had a hail size of a host.
Weather question. So, does all rain always start as snow, or is that just in cold climates? In warm climates, too, in that altitude, it's still that temperature?
Oh, yeah.
Because way up in the air, it's cold.
So if somebody goes skydiving through clouds, it's like really cold in those clouds.
Yeah, feel it.
I didn't even think about that. That might be actually pretty refreshing.
That means
go through a cloud.
If it's a hail size of the earth, that means that could be finished.
Well, maybe that's what some of those moons around Jupiter are, just giant chunks of hail.
I guess that's one way to look at it. Precipitation of the galaxy.
So getting back to you, Brandon, about the BC weather. Well, I'm not sure if you're finished with the prairies yet. I mean, there's so much going on right now with the weather stories. It's hard to keep up.
I think I covered everything now. I think I remembered everything. So I think we can jump to BC now. But I was on Kamloops and Kelowna at the same time. So it's probably weird. But anyways, it worked, I guess. So we talked about that next atmospheric river that produced quite a bit of rain and record-breaking rain, though, and Lower Mainland, I think, probably the wettest November ever on record. So that was
the wettest month ever. The wettest month. Yeah, this is the Lower Mainland it rains. I mean, a lot of years in Toronto, you wouldn't see as much rain as Hope got this last month. A lot of years. Different climate.
So, yeah, we talked about that flooding and it kind of came in prediction there. So we were thinking it probably won't be as bad as a couple of weeks ago, but still you have the flooding. You still have all the remnants of what was going on the last few weeks, and then you have more water on top of that, and that's definitely not a good thing. But it wasn't as brutal as it was a couple of weeks ago still, even though there's a lot of evacuations, but looks like that's starting to settle down now. I haven't gotten another emergency alert out of BC, so, and I've also noticed they're starting to push out those emergency alerts now that we've kind of mentioned, hey, where's been the emergency alerts? Now they're starting to push them out, so that's a good thing. They're starting to do that now. But I also mentioned that Merritt area probably wouldn't be as bad as well. And that's been the case as well this week. So that's also been a good thing. And and then the warm air, the record-breaking day yesterday at Penticton, 23 degrees was the hot spot in all of Canada there. And at Summerland as well. And Kelowna, everyone is in their shorts yesterday. But that's going to change, looks like, this weekend. They might actually get some snow as well. So
I'm hearing the Lower Mainland might be getting snow.
Yes, we're looking into that too. It looks like there's a pretty good shot that we might get a little snow in the Lower Mainland, and the even higher elevations on Vancouver Island too might get some, like the Mount Washington, the skiing popular areas there might get some pretty good fresh powder there this weekend too. So Saturday and into Sunday.
I mean, it will snow in the rainforest occasionally, but in my experience, this is probably the earliest I've seen that.
Yeah, that Arctic high diving in from the north, that's just going to change it all for sure.
So in those upper level cold, I mean, how is it that Hawaii could be getting blizzards?
That's a high altitude up in the sky. It's a very high altitude.
Yeah, there's big troughing in the jet stream there. There's the low pressure system that's dragging in all the, you know, that cold air that comes right out of Russia there. So there's a low pressure system is going to drag all this cold air out of Siberia. And that's the threat for, that's usually typical for La Nina years that we're having right now, as we're into this La Nina pattern where the ocean water is a little cooler than normal. And that will allow for these big monster storms to generalize outside of Hawaii. And then that trough draws in all that cold air from the north. And even at higher elevations of Hawaii, where they're going to possibly see maybe up to 4 feet of snow and 100-mile-an-hour wind. So that's higher elevations. Down at the beach, though, they'll probably just have a big old pouring rain event. But and a cold rain event, too. To take a look at temperatures here. Hold on. So temperatures at higher elevations will be near freezing. Near the beach and stuff, they'll be around 20. So I guess it's kind of cool for them for beach weather, but anyways, 20 is okay.
What we call the upper level is getting that cold air, though, especially.
Yeah, higher elevations right at the volcano area there. And I forget what they called it, though.
It's been a crazy week for British Columbia. I mean, Highway 99, as of Thursday night, is still shut down, last I seen, from more landslides. The incredible amount of moisture has been just running havoc on our infrastructure in British Columbia. And I like to remind everybody, as I did on Interior Weather and Wilderness Watchers, the Facebook group we run, BC is a geologically young province. Some of the oldest rock here is maybe 240 million years old, right? So when you look at that state compared to the Laurentian Mountains, which are over a billion years old, these kind of things have happened there in the past during major climatic shifts that have been happening. And now BC is experiencing climate change induced weather, and it's having an effect on, that is a geologically young province. The land is being shaped by the forces of erosion and whatnot. So I'm concerned about the long range for BC's infrastructure. I mean, look what's happening. But on top of that, so far in British Columbia this year, I mean, January, a low off the Aleutian Islands that reached 917 millibars. We've seen major blizzards. We've seen major cold late in the year this year. We've seen extreme heat. We've seen intense thunderstorm behavior. We've seen the strongest low pressure system to ever reach the coast of British Columbia there not too long ago, about a month plus ago. We've had multiple atmospheric rivers, which are nothing new. They happen, but the intensity is what's been noticeable. Landslides, we've had major fires. I mean, British Columbia has taken a beating this year, and I know a lot of people are feeling the effects of having our province shut down, of having grocery stores missing things and items, having gas not being available in some places still, especially the lower mainland. Up in the north here, things are sort of normal. Yeah, if you have any last thoughts just on British Columbia, climate change, and all the crazy weather stories we've had this year. I mean, these aren't by coincidence, are they, Brandon?
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting year for BC. Also, don't forget we had to add that tornado in Vancouver. Beginning of the month,
more supercell tornadoes in BC this year than Alberta.
I'm supposed to have all that fun, but anyways, yeah. So definitely indications that the climate is definitely changing, and we're just hanging on for the ride, indeed.
And people can say, "Well, Sumas is just a floodplain. Well, it's just a hot spell. It's just a storm."
Yeah.
People keep saying having these excuses, and they're like, well, look at the sum total of it all, friends. It's not just one thing. It's a sum total. You have to look at it all together. And to see this many insane weather stories in a year in one place such as British Columbia, I mean.
We got 2 days with highs in the 70s coming up Saturday and Monday. So those listening on Sunday, yesterday and tomorrow, but that is I wasn't expecting to have any weather in the 70s in December, as summertime beach weather would be in the 80s. But I think that is I could call these Canadian beach days or something, because we're gonna have a little bit of unexpected heat here.
Our wonderful friend Peter Galenko lives down in Virginia Beach, and we're always glad to have you and see you on. And I got to ask you, did you happen to catch the SpaceX launch tonight that happened off your coast?
I did not. I saw what you were saying about that earlier. And I think if I was looking, I wouldn't have been able to see it, just because I was able to see earlier in the year the NASA space launch. Not super clearly, and that was the NASA space launch that I saw was on the eastern shore of Virginia, and I could see liftoff and not much else. So that one that you mentioned, the SpaceX launch, maybe if the skies were real clear, I wasn't looking then, and then two, based on the other launch that I viewed earlier this year that was much nearer in the angle that SpaceX launch was at, which was angled towards away from land, towards the ocean more, I don't think I would have been able to see it this far north.
How many spaceship launches have you seen? You've seen a couple, have you?
There's this one this year, and I'm sure I've seen ones when I was younger, but I can't recall off the top of my head. And I would love to go wherever the closest viewing range is to one of those sometime to really get a good look at it. It was cool seeing the one earlier this year, but it was still at somewhat of a distance. So it was more like, and there was clouds, so it was more like seeing it like a flash on the horizon of the at the launch site. And then if it's a clear enough night, though, you can really see them pretty well. But
what else is going on down there in the good old United States of America?
Everybody is be very sane and cordial to everyone as always. Be sarcastic. I don't know. The United States is still like, I very much appreciate the United States. We're all over the place. It's been good in Virginia Beach, though. If any Canadians are listening and want to visit the United States, we got it together pretty well here in Virginia Beach, laid back.
Yeah, you never hear of anything too crazy happening. I mean, it's a beach country. I mean, how can bad things happen on a beach?
Well, I will say, especially if it's a family vacation or something, just probably steer clear of the bars letting out at 2 a.m. and that sort of thing. If you're down here with your family, like even at the beach, you know, bars and clubs can get rowdy anywhere, of course. But otherwise, it's pretty relaxed vibes out here.
What I thought was funny this week was on global television in British Columbia. They had this segment, and it's like Omicron variant, and it's all this new travel restrictions and this and that. And then they're saying, if you're over 60, do not travel abroad. And then the next segment, the very next segment, like 2 seconds later, was all about how it's easier to cross the border now than ever. And I was like, well, that's a funny juxtaposition. And who goes across the border but people who are over 60 years old more often than not? The rest of us are too busy working.
What I want to know is if it doesn't go away, what's going to happen then? Are we just not supposed to travel later? And then does it make a difference if you're traveling? If COVID is everywhere in every country, then I don't understand at this point. It's not like it's going to be contained.
Well, with any luck, most of the planet the humans will die off and things will get back to normal. And whoever's left will be able to travel wherever we want. Gabriel Berardo, did you happen to catch that 8-3 shellacking the Toronto Maple Leafs put on the Colorado Avalanche last night? And today I got a new GPS given to me because my GPS broke down. I got a new GPS unit, and it's a blue GPS. And our office, they put a number on each GPS because that way this is your GPS now. I got number 34, and it's written in blue. And I was like, what's the coincidence? What's the chance of that? Auston Matthews scores 3 goals last night, and I get a GPS named number 34. How you doing?
Yeah, I mean, wow, that's nuts. But I was actually watching that game, and I was, you know, on FaceTime with my cousin and everything like that. And he was like, yo, like, wow. I mean, like, he was just, like, shocked by it. Because, like, the Leafs been averaging over, like, 4 to 5 goals per, like, you know, game now, like over like four to five goals. I think they scored over 4 in their last like 5 or 6 or more than that. I'm not sure, but I mean, like, look, they obviously are not a bad, you know, team like people say they are. Obviously, of course, last season, we all, of course, you know what, of course, happened last season. But looking up
our defense from that. Who would you rather be right now? Would you rather be a Montreal Canadiens fan, objectively? You'd be like, well, we just had a Stanley Cup run.
I would hate.
And you look at your future, dudes.
No. Yeah.
So how's the weather in Southern Ontario?
And I just get to – I mean, it's been pretty warm, actually. Today, a high of 7 Celsius with a few showers, although it was really, you know, gusty today. We had at least gusts, I think, 60 to 70 kilometers an hour. But then looking at a storm heading into next week, this is the first kind of big storm. It could be snow, could be rain, and it will be possibly moving in on late, I think, Sunday heading into Monday. And we'll I mean, it's still kind of 3 to 4 days out from now. So I mean, like, the track is still, you know, here and kind of there, right? GFS,
the certainty of where exactly latest, what I will think, happen.
Yeah. I mean the GFS wants to on the latest, of course, you know, run of the GFS, I mean, wants to kind of put it like a little bit more south, I think. Which would obviously still, you know, give us, I guess, rain at first. And then, of course, on the
back side of the lonesome snow, but it kind of just wants to bring like some more snow to northern, I think, parts of the province. Maybe or like even some parts of southern, you know, parts of the province. But of course, then the Euro. So the Euro wants to bring whole lot more north. So like the center of the lower wants to kind of bring it more like up north, which would obviously lead, you know, most of the province in some rain, and then it would and then it just deepens, right? So as it, of course, you know, deepens, like the winds kind of get really, really, really strong with that. So then obviously on the backside of the low, I mean, just gust off Lake Erie could be 120 kilometers an hour. But this is obviously, you know, I mean, like the track is still like, you know, like not really kind of known at this point, which obviously means like the wind, you know, direction will obviously change within like the track of the low. So I mean, like we're just kind of watching track of the low and everything like that, and what we're gonna get, kind of like the rain or like the snow, and some actually areas may actually start out with ice or maybe some freezing rain at first. But I mean, just I've actually saw something on Twitter that Lake I think Erie could see up to 17 foot waves if, of course, you know, Euro was kind of right with the track of the low, 17 foot waves. It would just be like huge. So then I get this text by
Mark. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh yeah. No, it's okay. I was getting this text by Storm Hunter Mark Robinson all about it. And he was says like, so for you know, if you're like heading down to Lake Erie, watch out for some huge waves. It's gonna be wild. And I was like, oh okay. Like he didn't really kind of, you know, answer me after that, but he will answer soon some of my messages, and we will just kind of, you know, tracking it kind of, right, and just, you know, texting each other all this and all the model runs. But I mean, it's our first big storm of the year, and I mean, look, whichever of course way this low tracks, it actually might even all actually be snow, right? Like if like the track goes to farther south, it actually might even be our first big snow. Either of course way, we're going to be getting some squalls on like the backside of the low, so it will still be some snow for the snow belt areas, which will be fun. But like, I mean, a lot of winds though too. So I mean, I'm just kind of tracking this low and seeing what happens with it. Right? It could be big, could be not as big. Who knows?
Well, but yeah. About Lake Erie, I found in the past, because it's a very shallow lake for its size. It's a very gradual,
yeah,
up to the shoreline, right? So, of all the great lakes I've been to, my best experiences with giant waves have been on Lake Erie. However,
I mean,
footers, not 17.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, looking at, okay, hold up. Did you like ever see that video of, I think it was, it was either in Lake Erie or Lake Ontario. There was like these huge like winds and all like this ice, like the ice, like sheets on the lake were just like flying over like the edge kind of, and they were like piling over the edge. Have you ever seen that video before? It was I think
was Lake Erie, yeah,
Mark Robinson.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that video.
I think it was Lake Erie, mm-hmm, right? That was, I think, huge. I mean, like, look, I actually do remember that storm, actually, that same exact storm. I mean, like the winds were huge on that thing, but along the lakes, man. Looking at that video, like after a year maybe or so, like a few like months kind of back, I just, you know, hopped on this somebody's, you know, channel, and I just went to go and look at that video like once, of course, more, and I just looked at it and I was like, holy crap, man, that was really, really, really like dangerous. Like somebody could have almost, you know, died if it crushed on them. I mean, like those were like huge piece of ice too. Those were like maybe like 6 to 7 feet or maybe even more than that. Like long. Like, those were huge. That was just really nuts. So, yeah, so, I mean, like, the winds may match that storm. We're going to kind of see what happens, though. There obviously, of course, isn't any, you know, ice on the lakes yet because they're warm summer here. I mean, like, the lakes are, like, warm right now. Like, warm.
That's what will give you the big snow is that cold water. Oh, yeah. The cold air flies over top of that warm water. We're talking to Gabriel Berardo, a.k.a. GB, the rapid weatherman down in southern Ontario, the greater Toronto area.
Yeah.
We got our other host, Frankie McDonald, over in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Peter Galenko, he's down in Virginia Beach. And, of course, our radio weatherman in Brooks, Alberta, Brennan Houck. You're tuned into the Meteorological Report. I'm Joey Only. It's your comedy plus meteorology equals meteorology, the science that I invented because the weather is funny business. And we haven't been that funny tonight, but the weather still is funny business. Frankie, talk to me about the funny weather business.
It's right in the part of my area. Right now.
I never.
There's so much bad weather.
Bro, like, I was just like, hearing him laugh makes it funny.
He got the best.
Imogen's finally here.
I'm going to post that.
Holy Imogen Cookie Bailey. Look at this. We got our friend from down in Victoria, British Columbia, meteorologist Imogen Cookie Bailey. Haven't seen you for a few weeks. How has flight school been?
It's been par for the course. Very technical, lots of information, studying weather systems, physics of flight, all that good stuff. Lots of fun. Yes, that's worth it. Fun. Just a couple, I think there's maybe 2 weeks, so I think five more classes maybe. It's mm-hmm. 3 nights a week, so yeah, there's only a few classes left. Then it's just a lot of flight time, practice, study, then I can write the exam.
We have an airstrip in British Columbia if you ever need to land. Talk to us about your experience of the atmospheric rivers this past couple weeks.
Victoria has definitely gotten hit with a lot of rain. It's been really wet here. Some of the highways have just been like, shallow stream beds would be the best way to describe some of the roads here. Ultimately, though, Victoria's gotten the easiest end of it. Up Island, there was definitely a lot more problems. There were parts of the Malahat, which is the main highway that goes up and down the island. Parts of that were inaccessible or blocked off for road work. So they were completely shut down at night for road work and then down to single lane traffic during the days to just be able to get people up and down the island. A lot of people live here, but work, you know, in Duncan or Nanaimo. So a lot of people already have a 3 hour commute. And then when the traffic is jammed up to an added 2 hour wait time to that, it's been pretty hellish for a few people. Ultimately, weather in the city has just been pretty damp, very cloudy, very rainy. Not as brutal as other parts of BC. Still not good, though.
Well, that's what we've been doing. What have you guys been doing? Oh, yeah. Just watching some storms next week, possibly for my, you know, area, kind of like a wind storm, maybe a snowstorm, maybe a rainstorm. We have no freaking clue yet. Sorry for swearing, everybody. I mean, we have, like, it's kind of, you know, half a swear word, maybe, and half not. Like,
that was the most Leave It to Beaver swear word I've ever heard.
I'm sorry.
All right, Gabriel, I want to tell you something. At one time on TV, you were not allowed to say the word pregnant because it implies that a married couple shared a bed. So you were not allowed to say pregnant. Instead, referred to someone else as being pregnant, it would always be hinted at. It would always be, she's a little, you know. They wouldn't come out and say the word because it implied sex had happened. So your swearing is like that.
I mean, why it actually made sense at one point. Like, I could, like, see actually why it would make sense, like, to not say the word, but now I guess it just, you know, not, now it's just, I guess, now it's fine, I guess, right? I don't
know. On Global News tonight, they're talking about people getting their third shot, right? The third shot of your vaccine. And so they show somebody getting a shot of the vaccine, but then they put a blur over it where the needle goes in. And I thought, like, for all the awful things the news shows all the time, Why would they blur out someone getting a shot from a vaccine when they should be trying to communicate, like, hey, look, it's normal. It's a poke in the arm. It's not that big of a deal. No, they blurred it out like it's some evil thing happening. I'm sure anti-vaxxers were watching that everywhere going like, what the heck? Why aren't they showing that? That's because they're putting the chip in it right now. And so that's pretty weird.
Too much violence for that.
It is.
I
have a hairless cat.
I do. I have a hairless cat.
And apparently 98% of BC's... apparently 98% of BC health workers have a vaccine shot. So apparently 2% of BC healthcare workers don't believe in healthcare.
Well,
just my observation.
There's a lot of healthcare workers. So I've heard a lot of people say the argument that a lot of people have for not getting it is because they don't know what's in it. Now, I mean, it's also fair to say that we don't know what's in any of the other shots that we get. I don't know what's in the cough syrup I drink for breakfast. I don't know what's in a lot of things.
You drink it for breakfast?
You're hearing that over in Russia, in places like in Russia, you're not allowed to take pictures of dams, you're not allowed to take pictures of industrial property, you're not allowed to take pictures of government buildings, you can't speak against the government, you can't say certain things over in Russia, you can't talk about military over there.
China's also very...
in Canada, you can't show a picture of someone getting a vaccine.
Okay, but man, talk about...
You can't take pictures of CFS Trenton either.
So what I was getting at with the whole not knowing what's in it, a lot of doctors don't have access to that because the companies manufacturing it have not allowed those ingredients to be reviewed by doctors. So there's a lot of medical professionals, doctors and nurses, who from their standpoint, without being able to at least see the ingredients themselves and use their expertise and their training to make that judgment call, that's they're leery of it. So a lot of doctors are saying, you know, that the shot may be fine, but if I can't review it as a professional, I'm not going to do it just yet. So I think with a lot of the doctors who are saying no to the shot, it's not that they're saying a flat out never. They're not saying no, I'll never do it. I think that what it is is that they're saying not until I understand it better. So it's not that they're saying that they're opposed to vaccines.
1 million doses administered.
How many more do they need? They haven't had as much time to develop the... I think they could improve the formula because I know I react fine to the first dose, but my body is weird because of my health issues. But I've reacted. I've taken flu shots. I've taken pneumonia shots. And I don't know. I had a... that one just felt different to me. So I wonder... I don't know. I would like to see it to be continued to be studied and developed. And... I think for most people it is probably perfectly fine, but I think that they could...
There have been a lot of strange medical anomalies amongst people who've gotten the shot, which without knowing what those ingredients are, I mean, there's a lot that it's hard to say it's just a coincidence. Now, it could be something else in the environment causing rashes of events to happen, but for doctors to not have access to that information, and that there are three different manufacturers, three main ones that we know of, Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca. Those are the three most common names that we know associated with it. The AstraZeneca ones have had the higher rate of side effects. Moderna was the one that was offered to help frontline workers, healthcare workers in that first run, and has the cleanest record, Pfizer being the middle ground. Having such differences and having, you know, the Moderna one offered to healthcare workers who are the most, you know, that would be the first people who need the vaccine the most, right? So there's something telling in that alone. And I think that's also one of the reasons why a lot of doctors are saying, like, not yet.
I'm in a logging camp here.
I don't believe that all of those doctors and nurses are saying bluntly no.
They're coming up with the antiviral pills to target Omicron variants.
Will be a lot more readily embraced.
Yeah,
I'm in a logging camp here, and you know, to West Fraser's credit, rather than deal with all the you know, people not wanting to get it or whatnot, I mean, here we are in a camp 200 kilometers out in the bush, and I mean, this is these guys, I eat dinner with them every night, and that's the way it is. It's like the only people I see in my week, these loggers. But they gave us $250 if we were vaccinated. So, I mean, and everybody got it. It was $250 free, right on. But now we're seeing the third shots coming around. We're all sitting there at supper saying, come on, Wes Fraser, pay up. You got the money. I'll get the third shot.
Yeah.
Show us the money.
And I got to say, it's a little weird that a booster, it's a little out of, it's a little unexpected that a booster would be required so quickly after a shot. I mean, with the tetanus shot, a booster is required 10 years later. It takes 10 years for the tetanus shot to require a booster. Most of the shots we get as children, it's a one and done kind of deal, or a booster is required later in life, as like with tetanus, it's based on environmental factors, right? Well, most people do not have an up-to-date tetanus shot.
A lot of the shots we got as kids are ones that have been around for a long time, been developed and developed to destroy, you know, such things, right? So I think if they wanted to make, if they want to go that far and make such a successful vaccine, it would take a lot longer to put something together, right? So, I mean, from my opinion from the start, these vaccines were a first. This was the quickest, the safest. This is technology we already know and can replicate. It's probably not the best vaccine we could come up with in terms of totally defeating it, but because people are concerned about safety, as they should be, so was the industry, because you lose a lot of money when you screw people over. I mean, lawsuits are expensive, right, Frankie? We're coming to the end of the hour here on CPR 88.7 FM, CKUW 95.9. Thank you, Prince George. Thank you, Winnipeg. Thank you, Brandon Houck, Imogen Cookie Bailey, Gabriel Berardo, Peter Galanko, Frankie McDonald. Thank you. Hey, Gabriel, you've been doing live show feeds with with the other meteorologists. How can people see your live feeds, your sort of branch-off meteorological report of your own?
Oh, well, like, well, on my Instagram at Gabriel Berardo. I mean, if you get, you know, Instagram too, but I don't really, of course, think that you're active much, right? You're not active much. You got a lot of work to do or something, right?
Well, it's not that.
You have, like, I don't know.
I don't have a proper cell phone. Like, I have a cell phone, but it's just a gadget. I've never been connected to a cell phone tower in my life.
So,
and a lot of these sites, like, you know, Instagram and Plenty of Fish, and, you know, they require you to have they want to call you back and be like, are you the guy you say you are? Like, yes, I am. So there's a lot of websites, social media things I just never got involved with. Frankie McDonald, where can people find you?
My Twitter is @FrankieMcDee. My Facebook is Frankie McDowell. My Instagram is FrankieMcDee1984. My TikTok is FrankieMcDowell1984. My Snapchat is FrankieMacDon. And my Clapper is FrankieMcDowell1984. And my LinkedIn is FrankieMcDowell. My Twitch is FrankieMcDowell1984. My YouTube channel is Dogs and Wolves.
And that wraps up another meteorological report. I'm Joey Only. You've been listening to us on CFR 88.7 FM, CKUW 95.9 FM, or on my YouTube channel, the video version. Joey Only, the Caribou Weather Dude. Come subscribe to the channel. I'm 60 people away from 1,000 subscribers. I want that payday. All right, everybody. See you next week. Good to see you, and thanks for coming on.